Hi, my name is Robert McMahon. I'm the Connection Director here at Covenant Church, and I'm thrilled that you're listening. If you're checking us out for the first time, welcome. We're so glad that you're here, and I'd like to take this chance to invite you to let us know that you're tuning in today. We'd love nothing more than to help you start building meaningful relationships and to join you on the journey of faith. Just go to bgcovenant.org/connect and let us know how we can be in touch. With that said, let's dive in and listen together to this week's message.
Excited that you're here. My name is Kyle Burkholder. I'm the pastor here at Covenant Church and just one of the elders that gets the great privilege of leading us upon our mission to know Jesus and make him known. Today we are in week number 2 of our brand new sermon series called Grow Down. Grow Down is not something we came up with. A friend of mine wrote a book, a youth ministry book years ago called Grow Down. And so I said, listen, I'm going to steal your whole idea. Is that okay? And he's like, yes, that is great. And then more than that, he was pretty excited about it. We recorded a podcast together that'll be coming out this Wednesday. And so it's a free plug for our podcast here. If you don't listen to Covenant Conversations, it's where we have longer conversations about the things that are kind of everyday life stuff. And if that's not something you're already subscribed to, you can go to bgcovenant.org/podcast and you can hear Ken Castor, who's the author of this book, Grow Down. And he and I talked in depth about what this whole concept is. And you'll hear what he says Wednesday. It's going to be a little what I say today, so it's a good reiteration of where we're going. Because where we're going today is we're going to talk about the word adult. And adult, according to Ken, is the worst word in the English language and the greatest cuss word of all time. So you may not have known that, but you do now. There's one who thinks it's true, you know, like adults. So literally, the word adult, it means... Am I cracking out? Cool. This is going to get interesting now. Now this is on. Ooh, it's going to get loud. And I use one hand for this and one hand for this. I'm in big trouble. You're in big trouble. I'm going to be fumbling around all morning. God knew. So literally the word adult, if you break it down, it means adding other things. That's all it means. Ult, like ulterior. It's where you get an ulterior motive. Ult. So we're adding ulterior things to what was already there. So if you take a child and you add other things, you get an adult. The process of becoming an adult is literally adulterating a child. That's how that goes. In our world, growing in maturity is marked by growing in complexity. We equate complexity with maturity in our world. So you add a bunch of things to a child, you get an adult. Here's a question. What do you call a child with a mortgage and debt and kids and a job? A millennial. It was right there. It's an adult. It's an adult. It's a joke. It's a joke. There's a truth in every joke, but it's a joke. Love you, millennials. All right, so who brought your Bible? If you have a Bible, go ahead and open it up. Who brought a physical Bible? Will you hold your physical Bible up? Casey challenged you to bring a Bible. Look at you guys. Look at this. There are Bibles against the back wall in all kinds of places if you want to grab one. We are going to challenge you for the next month to bring a physical Bible, hoping it becomes a habit for you. There's just something about tactically getting in the Bible. And so that's what we're challenging you towards. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Scripture says this, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down." There's the series. "Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness." So how do you make it in life? You need to grow up, right? And scripture says, no. The way you make it is you grow down. You grow down. Down into what? Into the truth you were taught, the scripture says. Truth, we have to define, what is we talking about truth? Truth is God's word. And truth is the soil in which you're planted and you grow. So if you go, how do I grow? Well, you have to be planted in good soil. What is that soil? It's God's word. So you're holding it in your hand. This is how you grow. Be careful, though, the scripture says. Don't let it be adulterated. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, we're going to ask a question about that in a minute. Therefore, since we have this ministry as we've received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So we read this scripture. It starts with the word therefore. What do we need to ask, church? What's the therefore there for? It's there for something. And if you ignore it, you're out of context. So we got to go backwards to figure out what that's there for. So we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we ask the question, what is this ministry? What mercy do we have? It says this, we couldn't be more sure of ourselves in this, that you, written by Christ himself for God, are our letter of recommendation. You're the letter of recommendation. We wouldn't think of writing this kind of letter about ourselves. Only God can write such a letter. His letter authorizes us to help carry out his new plan of action. The plan wasn't written out with ink on paper with pages and pages of legal footnotes killing your spirit. It's written with spirit, on spirit, his life on our lives. Okay, this is a new year. We're going to start out white hot. You are God's letter of recommendation. I don't know if you knew that, but that's how this is being said. You're God's letter of recommendation. It's his desire to write history through you. His life is written on you and by you. If you didn't know, I'm going to warn you right now, Grow Down is not going to be a nice self-help service where we get you through 5 weeks and you're a little bit more confident with some life strategies. We're not doing that. We're done treating the Trinity as Father, Son, and Holy strategy. I've said this before. I've lived for a long time with Father, Son, and Holy strategy. That's not the Trinity. Scripture is clear that the Holy Spirit, in and through us, creates life and shares life in Jesus. That's what the Scripture is saying, that by his Spirit, he is writing life. And we're nowhere near as pumped about this as we should be. We read that Scripture, and it's, you know, it's a letter, it's a metaphor. So we're like, I don't know, I guess I get it. But we're not excited. I just told you that the Spirit that created the heavens and the earth flows through you and you have access to its full power. Collectively, I'm not mad at you, but collectively you nodded back at me as if I said Bob Evans has a $5.99 lunch special today. Interesting. He said something about the Spirit. You think the fried chicken's in that too? You know, there's always exclusions. You guys hear the Browns traded for a backup tight end? Oh, that's good. I like that. That's cool. It's cool. It's nice. That's how we respond. There's no joke there, I promise. I mean, there is, but it's like this. If I told you you had $1 billion in your bank account right now, I said, listen, you just have to trust me. You got $1 billion in your bank account. I'm sure of it. And then I did this thing that I just did where I just don't say anything for a minute. And eventually someone in here is going to pull out their phone and check their banking app and be like, I mean, we don't have $1 billion though, do we? And then when you find out you do have $1 billion in your bank account, it's going to be chaos in here. Everybody's pulling, we all have $1 billion. What are we going to do? And then I'd say, check your seat back in front of you. That QR code is your link to give, right? That's the first thing I say. 10%, guys, 10%. We'd freak out. If I said you had $1 billion, once you figured out you had $1 billion, we would freak out. And collectively, we would be pretty excited. There would be a party like nobody's business around here. You think, who had to walk the furthest to get here today? Some of you left home and you parked further away from the building than when you were at home. I know. And it's snowing, you can't park in the lawn. I mean, maybe you did anyway, but good luck with that. We're working on it. If you all had $1 billion, we wouldn't be working on it much longer. We'd be done. But if I stared long enough, you'd pull out your phone, you'd check it out, and we'd have a party. The Spirit of the living God lives within you. Okay, we're going to get somewhere today. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, let's read more about it. With that kind of hope, this Spirit hope to excite us, nothing holds us back. Unlike Moses, we have nothing to hide. Everything is out in the open with us. He wore a veil so the children of Israel wouldn't notice that the glory was fading away, and they didn't notice. They didn't notice it then, and they don't notice it now. They don't notice that there's nothing left behind the veil. Even today, when the proclamations of that old bankrupt government are read out, they can't see through it. These are people still stuck in religion. He says this, only Christ can get rid of the veil so they can see for themselves there's nothing there. Whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of His face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. That's worth celebrating. And we take it and we nod and we go, that's kind of cool. It's not kind of cool. It's life-changing. There's nothing between us and God. We're face-to-face, transfigured like Jesus, becoming brighter and more beautiful. We're gonna get in the habit of that. We don't celebrate the goodness of God because we don't grow down into God. We get distracted and adulterated by 1,000 other things, and we forget the whole point of being here in the first place. So because all that is true, therefore, we're just on what's the therefore, therefore. I hope you don't have lunch plans. Therefore, he says, don't lose heart. Therefore, we live by the truth. Therefore, we will not walk by the adulteration of God's truth, by the culture, by the enemy, or even well-meaning people whose words don't line up with truth. So we come back to my friend Ken's disdain for all things adult. He was a youth pastor, still is, 30 plus years working with youth. And he tells every single one he gets in touch with, he says, don't grow up, grow down. The path in life is not growing up. Adulteration, what does it mean? It means the addition of something to what is otherwise pure. When we were talking, and you'll hear this Wednesday if you pick up the podcast, we were talking about, I said, give me an example. And he goes, if you pick up a delicious all-beef hot dog, let's leave a hot dog just in case you're hungry. Ooh, all beef. I don't know. You go pick up an all-beef hot dog, and then it reads on the package that also may contain like pig snouts and microplastics and whatever. What does that mean? It's been adulterated. What was supposed to be pure, and some of you are like, no such thing as a pure hot dog. I get it. It's fine. Nitrates. I get it. It's adulterated. It's impure. Here's your perfectly pure bottle of water, and I drip a few things out of an eyedropper into it, and you're like, what's that? Nothing. Don't worry about it. It's adulterated. It's been made impure. That's what that means. It's where we get a lot of the words that we use in our culture. And we don't even recognize that we use them for negative things. Your kid's scrolling through Netflix and they go, Mom, what's this movie? And you read that it's an adult movie. You're like, maybe don't watch that. You're in a marriage and adultery comes up. Not a great thing. This adulteration of faith is what we're going through. We're going through an everyday invitation by an enemy to have our faith adulterated by lesser things. One of the greatest risks to your faith is adulteration. It's the simple additive of things. They don't even have to be bad things. Sometimes they're good things. They're not God things, but they're good things. And you surround yourself with enough good things and you can't see God anymore. So you want love and joy and peace and patience. You want kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. You want those things in your life. Some of you have New Year's resolutions about those things in your life. You know what? What are those called? What are they called? Fruit of the what? Oh. Fruit of the person? It's not fruit of the person, it's fruit of the Spirit. How will you get more of those things in your life? Will it be through great strategies? It will be through more Spirit. They're fruit of the Spirit, they're Spirit fruits, happening to be grown through you by the Spirit. But we treat them as if we are Christians, then we'll have those things if we just follow the rules right. That's not how it works. You don't need more good rules. You don't need more good strategies. You don't need more resolutions. You need more Spirit. You grow down by living by the Spirit of truth. You grow down by focusing your life on Jesus. You grow down by following Him with your days. And so you want goodness and you want fullness and you want all the things that come with it. And what we've been trained to do is to add something to our lives. What we've been trained to do is to adulterate our faith with additional little bits of anything else. So you want more patience with your small children. And what do? You download a mindfulness app. It tells you to pause every so often and breathe deeply. Or you get a new scheduling tool, family calendar. Look, less stress. You want self-control, so you read a book on the psychology of desire. You set up a filter on your phone. This is what we do. This is how we're going to get more of the fruit of the Spirit, is we're going to create these little strategies. I'm going to download an app, and therefore I'll have more fruit of the Spirit. And we do it. And then I say it out loud sarcastically, and you all are like, well, it is kind of dumb, isn't it? But it's what we do. It doesn't mean don't get a mindfulness app. It doesn't mean don't have a new family calendar. It doesn't mean that. It just means we're aiming for something and we're going the opposite direction to try to get it. I want to paraphrase an author, Marcus Buckingham, said this. I want to see if I can get it quite right. If you spend your life addressing what's bad, fixing what's bad, changing what's bad, what do you get? Not bad. We spend our whole life seeing what's bad in our life, and then I'm going to fix what's bad. I'm going to change what's bad. I'm going to get better at what's bad. And then what do you get at the end of that? If you fix all of that stuff, what you end up with is not bad. That's not the life Christ offers. It's not what God came to bring you. What he came to bring you is beyond good. Brighter and more beautiful. The scripture said, brighter and more beautiful as you grow in your Christ-likeness. Is your life today brighter and more beautiful than it was last week? Brighter and more beautiful than it was last year? Brighter and more beautiful than before you know Jesus? So read your books, download your apps, get a better family calendar, do whatever you want. The only way to get more fruit of the Spirit is to rely increasingly on the Spirit. Ask our elders. I've been praying for years, Lord, let me hear your Spirit. I want to hear more clearly, more every day. Let me hear more. Let me learn to hear. Let me learn to obey. I'm a lifelong devotee. That's French for devoted person. Devotee of holy strategy. I love holy strategy. I love it. Doesn't do anything for me. I love to read and study and think and control. I love control. I've got 900 books in my library. Probably a couple hundred of them are in the holy strategy genre. Only one book has ever changed me. That's why we're having you bring your Bibles. One thing has ever changed me. The rest of this stuff, cool, great, add it to your life, whatever. It's adulteration. It's not the real thing. It's a shadow of a thing. It's a refraction of a thing, but it's not the thing. So we push back against adulterated faith. We push back against adding to Jesus to get more Jesus. You don't get more Jesus by adding other stuff than Jesus. But that's what we do. If you're in a marriage and you wanted more time with your spouse and you added like yoga classes and I'm going to do this other thing with these friends and I hope this improves my marriage, you're like, that's not how that works. You guys thought that was a move back there. The lights went out back there and I was about to make an illustration, but you saved it. Thanks, Ron. Pathway is this. This is the pathway for all your resolutions. This is your pathway. I want to know more of you, Jesus. That's the prayer. I want to know more. I want to know you. I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to know you more. I want to wake up and know you more. I want to wake up tomorrow and know you more than I know you today. And I want to wake up in 2 weeks and know you more. I want to know who you really are. I want to grow down into you. I want to grow into your brightness and your beauty. I want to grow into your likeness and your love. I want to know you, who you really are. I want to know you. That's it. That's where we get the life that we clamor for. That's where it comes from. I want to know you, Jesus. And I can confess, I'm sometimes afraid of this. Because holy strategy gives me control. I like that. Holy Spirit takes control from me. Can be scary. What will Jesus ask of me, you might say? What if I gave up control of my life? What if I actually trusted God with my life? Then what? I'm afraid of what he'll ask me to confess in public in front of hundreds of people. I'm afraid of what he'll ask me to give up. Afraid of what he'll ask me to do. I hear this from people all the time. I'm afraid. If I really did the thing you're saying I should do, it could cost me everything. And I go, maybe. Maybe. When I've really heard the Spirit of God in my life, I can count on one hand when I'm like, I don't have to ask a question. I don't have to get clarity. I don't have to double check. This was God and I got to do what he said to do. The first time I heard and I moved 10,000 miles to South Africa. My parents said, what are you doing? Where did this come from? And I'm like, I think God's telling me to move. And that listen, doesn't go well, no matter how faithful your parents are. You're just like, okay, whatever. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Rescued me in 1,000 ways. Never would have chosen it, never would have dreamt it. Was sitting in a church service. I went up to the pastor at the end of the service and said, I need to hear more about Africa. And he said, what? And I said, Africa. And he said, I never said Africa. I was like, no, that's all you preached about, dude. He's like, I didn't say the word. And I was like, well, apparently you did, because that's what I'm here asking you about. So what do we do about it? And he goes, are you supposed to be a missionary? I was Catholic. I said, is a missionary a priest or a nun? He says, none of those. And 6 months later, I moved. I packed all of my stuff into a military duffel bag and I moved around the world not knowing what was coming. Greatest thing that ever happened to me. He never said Africa. Who did? Second thing I was pretty sure was going to have to be from God is there was a woman in my life who had a really thick Texas accent. I mean, I needed a translator to understand what this woman was saying. And God said, I think that's yours. And I was like, oh, great. I didn't know if she was sitting there. But it happened fast. It went from no, 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 no. And then one day it was like, oh, here we go. Greatest thing that ever happened to me. And I can understand her now. You'd be surprised how much sarcasm and belittling can do to an accent. Go back one page where I said, I am afraid of what God will ask me to confess. This would be the time to apologize for the belittling. Sorry about that. It's true. The next thing I heard, we were in South Africa. We had moved back there together. I'd lived there again by myself. I moved back and met this Texas person. And then we moved together because she heard from the Lord. One-way ticket, moved back to South Africa. Okay. And we're there working in this little church in the inner city, 10 million people starving everywhere, AIDS. It was just like, you know, Thunderdome. And we're watching this child. Someone who works at the church had a child. And she was 4 or 5 years old, with us every day, literally just like an appendage, was with us all the time. And this little girl, I was like, this is something. And I heard the Lord say, you can have kids. And that sounds like, what a weird thing to have the Lord have to tell you. My heart was scarred by loss. I was terrified of having kids. We got married and my wife agreed we weren't having kids because I said I couldn't bring a kid into the world. Because my sister was in hospitals her whole life. And I said, I can't do that. Because a kid doesn't deserve it. I won't have kids. I can't put a kid through that. This little girl shows up. 8 months later, I'm like, okay. And I said, we can only have children if we have girls. True story. That's literally what I said. And she's like, I don't think I can do that. And I was like, you will do that. Because the Lord said, you can have children. And I said, they better be girls. And I prayed and God gave us a girl. And I said, oh, this was interesting. And she goes, can we have another? And I was like, only if it's a girl. And she goes, well, I've been through this. Guess what? Two girls. Boom. Didn't test them further. Drop the mic on that. That was another time. Last time that we have clearly heard God say something was May of 2016. We were here interviewing for this job. We said, that's it. We're done. This was our first resume sent out, and this is our first visit, and the search is over. And God, in his great wisdom, had us move 1,400 miles from warm and sunny South Texas to a frozen swamp. Spirit-led choices are the best things that ever happened to me. None of them were easy. None of them weren't scary. It's the best. Stop being afraid of what God will ask of you. Start being excited by what he wants for you. We got to stop being afraid of what he's going to ask of you and start being excited for what he wants for you. We got our dream job, our forever community. What I pray for now is that this place, this frozen swamp that you think I'm making fun of, but I love more than you think. My prayer is that this is the base of generations of our descendants. They're going to come back and visit us here. Good luck. Why do you guys still live there? These people, the Holy Spirit, the whole thing. You're never getting rid of me. That's what that meant. Deal with it. You give me one of these microphones, I get a little spicy. Could be a new thing. We're almost done. Some of you stopped dreaming of better. You just stopped. You gave up. You don't dream of better anymore. Some of you stopped praying for more. Some of you stopped hoping altogether. My hunch is it's because you stopped looking to the only one that can make it happen. Now, that's not totally fair. Because for some of you, you're like, no, I've been praying earnestly for the thing every day. Every day I've been doing what I'm supposed to do. And God's been quiet. I get that. We can trust that. At the same time, most of us who aren't living the life we always dreamed of, it's because we're still the ones doing the dreaming. And we haven't given over the control to the Spirit to go, what do you want to do with my life? There was never a day I said, I should live in Johannesburg, South Africa. Or I should marry a girl whom I can't understand from the same state that I'm from. Or I should have children in spite of everything in my bones that say, don't ever do that. Or should move to the frozen swamp to live here for the rest of my life. None of those were in my dreams. I wouldn't have written that down. I wouldn't have prayed for that. I wouldn't know to ask for that. But when the Lord speaks and he pushes and he nudges, it's good. Some of you say, I want to hear the Holy Spirit in my life. This sounds exciting. I want to hear this too. So many of us are straining for the voice of a stranger in the crowd, and that's where we don't hear it. When you guys come in here at like 9:58 on a Sunday morning, it is like a hornet's nest of voices. You can't pick out one. The same is true when we're living a distracted, busy, complex, modern life and saying, I can't hear the Holy Spirit. You know why you can't hear the Holy Spirit? Because there's so many voices. And you have to train yourself. You have to train yourself to hear that voice. You have to train yourself to listen for it. And then and only then, in a busy, crowded room, you can pick out your loved ones, though, you can't you? Can a mom hear her child across the room in a busy room? Absolutely. That child's cry, you know what it is. Can a husband hear his wife shouting at him to help the child from across the room? Better believe it. Better believe it. You know that voice. You can't ignore that voice because it's no longer a stranger's voice. When you know that voice, you hear it through anything. So what you need in the new year is not a new strategy. It's not a new year's life hack. What you need is more Jesus. You need to be more with him, more in his word, more in his presence. And as you are more with Jesus, you will more hear his voice. So our prayer today is simple and dangerous. Jesus, I want to know you more than I know you now. That's the prayer. I'm going to invite Greg to come back up. We're going to sing our prayers out today. As you know, we've been making more space for you to respond if you want to respond to stuff. We got red chairs on either side. If you want to sit in one of those red chairs, that's you needing some space to be alone with God, go for it. If you're in a community group and you know somebody is desperate to hear more, needs the touch, needs the Spirit, and you all want to walk up together, walk on up. We got a lot of space for people to gather, to pray, to cry, to sing, to dance. Phil's got a ribbon over there. He could dance with ribbons if he wanted to today. I won't stop him. Just mock him later. No, the prayer is simple. The prayer is, I want to know who you are. I want to know who you are, Lord. I want the life you have for me. I want the nothing to hide life. I want the brighter and more beautiful life. I want to know you. So the question for you today is, are you willing to pray that? Because it's dangerous. I want the Spirit-filled life. I want the Spirit-powered life. I want the Spirit-led life. Are you willing to pray that? In a world selling you more of everything, new year, new you, nah. May we be a people who says, I just want more Jesus. I want more Jesus in my family. I want more Jesus in my marriage. I want more in my heart and in my health, in my work, in my relationships. I just want more. So we've made space so you can ask for more. And you can pray that in your seat. You can sing right where you are, but you know as well as I do that sometimes you got to make a move. You need space to get on your knees. We have space for that. You need space to come up and pray with someone. We have space for that. I don't want to manipulate you into doing anything, cajole you into moving when you don't want to move. What I want to do is give you the space to respond to the Holy Spirit in your life that says, this could be your day. When it changes, when the frustration falls away, when the anger starts to melt, when the marriage begins its healing journey, but you got to have the courage to respond.
Give next part of this song is so simple. It just says, I want to know you more than I know you now. Let this be your prayer this morning.
I want to know you more than I know you. I want to know you more than I know you now. I want to know you more than I know you. I want to know you more than I know you now. I want to know you more than I know.
My soul.